Sometimes when you're speaking, things happen, and I think they reserve the right to change topics. And although I do compare what's going on in the church to the sinking of the Titanic, when they had an all-hands-on-deck moment on the Titanic, it was too late. The ship was going down. It's possible that if there was some kind of an incredible revival and the men calling and women calling themselves our Christian leaders got what the deception is that's moving into the church, you know, something could happen to postpone things. But it doesn't look like that's happening. But what happened was the day before I went up to Lacrete, I talked to one of the women that was involved with heading up the conference, and she said, "What do you know about the book Jesus Calling?" And I said, "You know, I've seen it. I have a uneasy feeling about it." And she said, "Well, it was advertised on a CBD phone line, and it's an issue. Could you talk about it?" So on the plane to Lacrete, I read the book, and I also read the book God Calling. Is anybody familiar with the book God Calling? This was the book that she said that influenced her and was a treasure and it inspired her to write Jesus Calling. I knew it from my New Age days. It was a New Age book. So I want to do a few things first, but that's why I've changed the subject. Martin Luther made a really interesting statement. Don't necessarily agree with everything that he said, but this was pretty profound. He said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest expression every portion of the truth except precisely that little point with which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not professing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved." I think that speaks to what's going on today. A lot of preachers are preaching an awful lot of the counsel of God, but they're leaving out precisely where the Lord is being attacked mightily. There's another Jesus. We talked about that, 2 Corinthians 11. Paul chided the Corinthians. He said, "If another Jesus comes through here, another gospel, another spirit, you might just go for it." That's what's happening. Chuck Smith, the man who founded Calvary Chapel, wrote a book called The Soon-to-be-Revealed Antichrist. In that book, on the front cover, it says, "The stage is being set. The world and the minds of men are being conditioned for a leader, one who can establish peace and safety in these perplexing times." He says, in the book itself, he says, "Today the world is being conditioned for the Antichrist. As we look at the world, the whole perplexity and the events taking place, we realize that the world and the minds of men are being conditioned for this figure and the programs he will establish when he comes into power." That book was written in 1976. The conditioning process is incredible. In Ephesians 6, it tells us that evil is in high places. You've got the Holy Spirit working through those believers that have accepted the Lord. And you've got, not that the Holy Spirit can still do other things, but the unholy spirit is running rampant in the world. And I've hesitated to give this little section before because it really looks like, boy, this guy's really gone off the deep end. But I'm so convicted that this is part of the conditioning process. You can make up your own mind, but I want you to just pay a little bit more attention to what comes at you, either through movies, TV, or in this particular case, advertisements. Last fall, we don't have TV at our house, but last fall I watched some of the playoff football games. And as I did, I watched the ads and I started getting very uneasy with some of the things that I was hearing. So before you go, "Oh man, this guy's really off his rocker," I want you to just listen to some of these. And notice that in a lot of ads, they'll have, you know, dodge dart. And then at the end of the ad, there's like a little kicker. You know, there's like a little dodge dart. And at the end of it, it's like new rules, new rules. Listen to just some of the ones that I compiled just sitting there watching TV and looking through a few magazines. And you tell me if a lot of these little sayings that are at the end of these ads, if they really have anything to do with the product itself. The Illy Espresso machine tells you at the end of their ad to experience a great awakening. State Farm Insurance. Now, this was really interesting. I was listening to Ray this morning, and he was talking about the presence. And he said, he was quoting a particular woman, and it puts you in a better state to get you into God's presence. It puts you in a better state. State Farm Insurance, get to a better state. Hyundai, new thinking, new possibilities. Coca-Cola, this one, let's look at life a little differently. AT&T, the future can change in an instant. Rethink possible. And then it even adds, each generation rises up in such a time as this. Ameritrade, fresh thinking for the future. Subway, think fresh. That phrase, fresh, was introduced to me. There were men in my community when the light that was dark came out that are now very involved in the emerging church. They approached me and they said, we think you're going to be speaking to people on the radio, and we want to send you to a speaking school. We'll pay the $1,500. Here's a video. Watch the video and tell us what you think. My wife and I watched the video, and it just wasn't me. I mean, it was like there were a lot of techniques, and I'm sure they're good. They work for a lot of people. But I went back, and I sat with him and his friend, and I said, you know, I really appreciate the offer, but I'm just going to have to be me. I'm going to have to just talk in a way that's just natural, and I can't really do the techniques. He said, well, let us pray for you. So they prayed, and they said, Lord, give Warren a fresh anointing. The other guy goes, yes, Lord, fresh, fresh, Lord, fresh, fresh. I went home that night, and I told my wife, I said, I don't think I like the word fresh anymore. If you think about it, fresh, if you look it up in the dictionary, it's something along the lines of to take a pre-existing thing and to invigorate it, to make it a little bit better. That's what all these guys think they're doing with the Christian faith, like it's lacking, like it needs something. They're going to put a little yeast in there and a little leaven, the leaven being God in everyone, and it's going to end up ruining the whole loaf. Little leaven, leavens the whole loaf, Galatians 5:9. Robert Schuller in his book, Self-Esteem, New Reformation for the World, said that the church needs to be reforming. We need a new standard. I told you how the God of the New Age, speaking through Neil Donald Walsh, said that Robert Schuller was an extraordinary minister and that the standard should be, you know, that we are all one. Cadillac, the new standard for the world. American Airlines, One World Alliance. IBM, let's build a smarter planet. Michelin, a better way forward. This one cracks me up. McDonald's, he's got the master plan. McDonald's, he's got the master plan. Bank of Montreal, explore a world of possibilities, indulge in new experiences. Like, what? How do you indulge in new experiences? I guess you could be a small business or something. Taco Bell, think outside the bun. Ford, strength in numbers. There's no force like joining forces. What does that have to do with Ford cars? And in terms of strength in numbers, is that what the Lord said to Gideon? He said, 32,000 troops, and he sent like 31,700 back because they were going to be proud if they defeated with that many people. Strength in numbers. That's part of the deception. Well, gosh, everybody's reading the shack. There must be something wrong with me. No. Narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. There's going to be a lot of errant thinking going on. Jeep, I am the plan master. It's not done. I have a master plan. I live, I ride, I am. Jeep. Muscle Milk, drink and evolve. Verizon, send your own signal. You have a great force within you. Rule the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Sports Illustrated on the cover, the new normal. This was an article inside the magazine, and then they were advertising. The new normal, adapt or die. Inside, the article said, to survive, you must evolve. This was about a basketball player, Sports Illustrated. I don't want to do too many more, but the one that really hit me, I think Ray talked about somebody this morning that said, look within. There's this one Gatorade ad where Michael Jordan, star American basketball player of the past, he's sick. He's got the flu, and it's the big game, and it's right towards the end of the game, and he's sitting on the sidelines, and he's got a towel draped over him. He's obviously wiped out, and he's got some Gatorade right to the side there, and he throws off the towel, grabs some Gatorade, goes on the court, and does what Michael Jordan does best. He swishes it like in the last 2 seconds, and on the screen it goes, win from within, win from within. Lexus Cars, anything that's not moving forward is moving backward. Rethink everything you know. It has in big letters, and then little letters, about luxury cars. AARP, reinvent yourself. This one is really interesting. Arrowhead Water, born better. Arrowhead Water, born better. What does the New Age say? When everyone is aligned and linked, the joy of the force will rifle through mankind, and mankind will be born again, and they will take a quantum leap into a new humanity. Now, come on, man, you're talking about advertisements? Of course I am. You've got the unholy spirit is grabbing hold of whatever heads of anything, and what better way to condition the world? You know, Chuck Smith's warning about it back in 1976. It's not like there's going to be this big break and Antichrist is going to come in with teeth. He's got his program prepared, you know, down the line, you know, and hopefully, you know, people will be, have been warned by talks like this. I mean, in the old days, there used to be videos that people would leave. You know, the rapture would come, there'd be a video that would explain to their neighbors what happened. You don't hear hardly any of that anymore, especially unbelievers. You need to explain to them. I've done this with my family. You know, things are going to happen. And when they do, just remember that I told you that. That's pretty much what the Lord said. Behold, I've told you these things ahead of time so you won't be offended. And here's the one that I mentioned last night. E-Trade, game changer, game changer. I notice President Obama uses that a lot. The game changer is going to be that little nudge, that little tweak where you just kind of recognize that you're a part of God. You awaken in the New Age by going inside yourself and recognizing that you are God. That's the awakening. That's the great awakening. When you move from your ego, they say, to your God self. And the ironic thing is that the biggest ego trip in the world is to think that you're God. It's just more of the backwards stuff. So that's probably all state, keep connected for protection. Stay in that connectivity. Connected to what? Are you connected to the harlot? Are you connected to the body of Christ? So what I'd like to do is try to go through these two books. And it's going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be a typical talk. I'm going to try to give you the process that I went through as I read her book. And I need to tell you ahead of time, Jesus Calling is stacked about this high in the Christian bookstore in Fresno, California. I asked them, I said, you've sold a lot of these books. They said, thousands. Thousands. They had not only Jesus Calling, they had Jesus Calling in a devotional Bible with genuine cowhide. They had Dear Jesus. They had Jesus Lives. They had a devotional for kids. They had a devotional Bible. They had just about everything Sarah Young. 5 million copies have sold already. It's a sleeper. It was published actually, I think, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just been kind of creeping and it's just breaking. I will mention that one of the reasons I think the Lord had me read this book and to do this talk up in La Crete and here is because when I gave this talk, there was a pastor from a church outside La Crete. I think he'd driven like 5 hours. And I gave the presentation on Jesus Calling, and I later found out that he had bought the book the day before to give to somebody in his church. A lady came up to me here today and said that a friend in Texas, I guess she's got some serious problems with her eyesight, and she needed a devotional Bible that was large print. And a friend down there got her Jesus Calling. Okay, so why would we be so concerned? Well, I've kind of noticed that the things like Purpose-Driven Life that sell 40 million copies or The Shack, I hate to be suspicious, but when they're piled high, not only in the Christian bookstores, but in Barnes & Noble or Costco or anywhere else, I kind of go, okay, you know, it's really popular. You almost have to wonder why. So I started reading her book, and she builds up her credentials. And I have no reason to think this woman isn't completely sincere. It's like this type of thing that we could have done in the New Age. But she's calling herself a Christian, and she's referring to the Bible, and she's got scriptures on just about every page. She said, as she starts off her introduction, she says, I first experienced the presence of God in a setting of exquisite beauty. I first experienced Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh on a mountaintop in Big Sur, which is one of the most beautiful places in the world. The devil has a way of giving you a mountaintop experience. She was in a little tiny alpine village in France, and it was connected to Labrie, Francis Schaeffer's organization in Switzerland. She said it was a fairy land-like environment. Every day I climbed up a steep hill to attain a view that delighted my soul, and as I stood at the top, I would lose myself in a panorama of unbroken beauty. Okay, we got it. It's like beautiful setting, everything's nice, and then Jesus is about to come in. She made clear that she'd majored in philosophy at Wellesley College, which is one of the best women's colleges in terms of academic rank on the East Coast. She completed her master's degree in counseling. She was on a search for truth, and she said, while she was at La Brie, one night I found myself leaving the warmth of our cozy chalet to walk alone in the snowy mountains. I went into a deeply wooded area, feeling vulnerable and awed by cold, moonlit beauty. The air was crisp and dry, piercing to inhale. Suddenly, I felt as if a warm mist enveloped me. I became aware of a lovely presence, and my involuntary response was to whisper, "Sweet Jesus." The utterance was totally uncharacteristic of me, and I was shocked to hear myself speaking so tenderly to Jesus. As I pondered this brief communication, I realized it was the response of a converted heart. Just like that, she converted to Jesus with an experience that she didn't test. She doesn't know that it was Jesus. She just assumed it was Jesus. Because she said, "Sweet Jesus," she thought it had to be him. And, you know, maybe it was, but we'll see when we get into the book. But that's a pretty quick conversion based on a spiritual experience. She says, it was a response of a converted heart, and at that moment, I knew I belonged to him. This was far more than the intellectual answers for which I'd been searching. This was a relationship with the creator of the universe. And she talks about how she had another experience, and then there was a long period of time where she didn't. But she said that somebody sent her the book God Calling, and as soon as I read that, I went, uh-oh, we knew this one from the New Age. This was used by a lot of our New Age friends, and a lot of times it was used by people who were like on fringe New Age Christianity type stuff, where they wanted a little bit more than the New Age. It sort of has a presence, if you will, of the Bible, but also the presence of something else. So she said, began speaking God's presence in earnest. My days started alone with God, equipped with a Bible, devotional book, prayer journal, pen, and coffee. I thought that was interesting. I don't know why. Just kind of like you're there waiting to hear from Jesus and get your coffee there. Everything's kind of comfy. As I waited in his presence, God began to reveal himself to me. She then goes on to say that when she worked with her husband, he's a missionary over in Japan. So that further kind of like validation. She's got a master's in counseling. Her husband's a missionary. She's had this experience in the offshoot of a Christian, Francis Schaeffer's Christian La Brie. She says, our combined ministry subjected our family to intense spiritual warfare, and I prayed for protection every morning. Well, that sounds good. And then she says, one morning as I prayed, I visualized God protecting each of us. I pictured first our daughter, then our son, and then Steve, encircled by God's protective presence, which looked like golden light. When I prayed for myself, I was suddenly enveloped in brilliant light and profound peace. I lost all sense of time as I experienced God's presence in this powerful way. I had not sought the experience. I didn't see the experience I had with a psychic either, and that was a light experience, and it felt pretty good. I had not sought the experience, but I received it gratefully and was strengthened by it. So she then says that she was being bathed in his glorious light. She said, during that same year, I began reading the God Calling devotional book written by two anonymous listeners. These women practiced waiting quietly in God's presence, pencils and paper in hand, recording the messages they received from him. This is exactly what Neil Donald Walsh did, conversations with God. He was ready to end his life, and he was mad at God, and all of a sudden God speaks to him, and he writes down, and he's got like probably six books that are conversations with God. The author of The Shack, it's very clear, that's more than a novel. He has stated, and it was actually online, a woman who was in a small group with him said that everything in The Shack was God speaking to him, just put in a fictional context. So 6 or 7 years later, this paperback, God Calling, became a treasure to me. It dovetailed remarkably well with my longing to live in Jesus' presence. By the way, I mean, just to show you how weird this job is that Ray and I have, I just felt like I'm going to count up the word presence, by the way, with a capital P, over 370 times in this book. 370 times. She said that the practice of listening to God has increased my intimacy with Him more than any other spiritual discipline. That would include reading the Bible. A life-changing verse has been, "Be still and know that I am God." And as we mentioned, Ray and I both mentioned, that's been throughout the New Age. We have that throughout all the contemplatives that Ray went through. That's not what "be still and know that I'm God" is saying in Psalm 46:10. It's telling the nations that God is sovereign. Be still and know that I am God. It's not telling you to sit there with pencil and paper and coffee in hand to see what Jesus would tell you. She still hasn't tested the spirits either. One of the things that was interesting is she said that as a PhD now, I guess, in counseling, she counseled women who had been involved in the satanic ritual abuse. Well, that would give the reader a sense of like, whoa, she must really know what she's talking about. The whole book, there's not one thing about spiritual warfare, testing the spirits. It's very weak. It's all getting into God's presence. So if she was working with these victims and survivors of ritual abuse and subjecting them to this same light and presence, a woman came up to me on the break. She said she took a class in a adult education, and it was something like reaching spirituality. So she gets to the class, and the teacher says, okay, let's visualize and contact your spirit guide. So this Christian woman is going, whoa, this is kind of weird, but she did it, and she got this cat. It was a particular kind of cat. I don't know if you want to announce yourself or not, but it was a particular kind of cat. And the teacher came around. I think it was a golden cat or something. The teacher came around and said, did you see something? She said, yeah, I saw a golden cat. And she goes, oh, well, that's your spirit guide. That'll be your spirit guide now. And she said, no. She said, my spirit guide is the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, my Savior. And she said at that moment, the cat just like, and just ran away. Just like Johanna Michelson's Jesus Christ exploded in that laboratory. So in a way, she wasn't even testing because she just stated authoritatively. But if she had tested, the same thing would have happened. So she said this practice has helped her more with intimacy more than any other spiritual discipline. She said, I've included some scripture references after each of the daily readings. The messages are meant to be read slowly. These are messages from Jesus to her, and the reader is supposed to read them as if they're Jesus to them. These messages are meant to be read slowly, preferably in a quiet place. I invite you to keep a journal to record any thoughts or impressions you receive as you wait in His presence. So I've just kind of gone through the book. It's a little bit methodical, but I just want to give you a sense of some of the things. The very first line on the very first day of the year, because it's a devotional going through the year, come to me with a teachable spirit. Well, isn't that interesting? Are you teachable? Are you going to listen to what I tell you? I might have some new things for you. Do not cling to old ways. What might the old ways be? Would those be the old ways that Jeremiah said were the ancient paths that we should trod? Give yourself fully to this adventure of increasing attentiveness to my presence. Okay, I may infuse within you a dream that seems far beyond your reach. Remember we were talking about God's dream and how that overlaps with both the New Age and the church? Rick Warren called his peace plan God's dream for you and the world. By the way, Neil Donald Walsh, Channeling God, had a five-letter peace plan that actually on paper without the description parallels Rick Warren's. Ask my spirit to control your mind. Now, I'm going through all the fluff, all the radiance, you're wonderful, you know, my shimmering presence wants to enter your spirit consciousness, whatever. I'm cutting to the quick here. Ask my spirit to control your mind. Course in Miracles, Jesus said that the course was a spirit in mind, or it was a course in mind control. How about this one on January 15th? The future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Does that sound like Matthew 24? On February 5th, well, let's see. Oh, here it is. On February 6th, breathe me in. This is Jesus. Remember, this is Jesus, supposedly. Breathe me in with each breath. That's exactly what God calling, the God in God calling said, to breathe me in. That's what we used to do in the New Age, and especially in yoga. Breathe me in, breathe me out, breathe me in, breathe me out. On March 3rd, many voices vie for control of your mind, especially when you sit in silence. You must learn to discern what is my voice and what is not. Ask my spirit to give you discernment. Hey, well, that's good. Now she's talking discernment. So we look down there to see that she's going to put 1 John 4:1 to talk about testing the spirits. No, she puts Ephesians 4:6. That's the New Century Version that Rick Warren used to say God rules everything and is in everything. That's the one that a lot of Christian leaders are now starting to use to try to make it look like God is in everything. That's what she uses. What does that have to do with discernment? She doesn't give anything about evil, about Satan, about anything in this book. We're just to kind of trust that this good feeling, this presence that comes upon us when the 5 million people or 6 million now that have read this book, just they feel this thing and they write down what it says. Okay, March 15th, this is the kind of stuff I would read you. This: listen to the love song that I am continually singing to you. I take great delight in you. This is the kind of flattery that we got in the New Age. You're special. You have a special role. My shimmering presence will accompany you wherever you go, and you will be defended from all evil with this shimmering presence. Stuff like that. March 16th, don't take yourself so seriously. Lighten up and laugh with me. You know, when Holy Laughter came in, I just, for the heck of it, I went ahead and I did a study on laughter in the Bible. Do it sometime. It's interesting. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But you find sorrow is better than laughter. You have, you know, a lot of warnings about it's when we're broken that God can enter in. When we're broken, in your weakness I perfect my strength. Not laughing and hang. This is kind of like hanging out with Jesus. It's kind of like she's got her coffee. It's kind of like, you know, you can go to Starbucks and do this too, I guess, you know. Lighten up and laugh with me. May the 8th. This is important. Begin each day anticipating problems, asking me to equip you for whatever difficulties you will encounter. The best equipping is my living presence, not the Word of God. And then right below it, take a lighthearted view of trouble. I kind of read, be sober, be vigilant, watch and pray, things like that. I mean, we can certainly relax, but we've got to be on, you know, on the lookout for books like this. This one cracked me up. The world is too much with you. Does that ring any bells for anybody? That's William Wordsworth, one of the metaphysical poets. He said, the world is too much with us, getting and spending. We lay waste our natural powers. A metaphysical poet. And that poem, he actually talks about, he decries the way that nature is not being regarded, and he has legitimate complaints, and he says, I'd rather be a pagan in the poem. I mean, this is just Jesus quoting a metaphysical poet. When you think like that, you leave me out of your world view. So now we got Jesus talking about world views. Remember, not world religion, but a world view that's moving on. Okay, I'm trying not to be sarcastic here, but on May 27th, he says, seek my face at the beginning of your day. This practice enables you to put me on and wear me throughout the day. My question is, who's putting who on? Who's putting who on? Put me on and wear me throughout the day. That's an expression in America anyway, where you're putting somebody on, you're taking them for a little bit of a ride. Let me anoint you with my presence on May 28th. June 16th, I have called you to walk ever so closely with me, soaking in my presence. That's part of the New Apostolic Reformation, soaking, bathing, you know, hanging out in the presence of the Lord, just kind of like, it's an extension of all the stuff that came in with the Toronto Vineyard Laughing Revival, so-called, that was up there years ago. That same day, June 16th, I've called each of my children to a different path, distinctly designed for that one. Do not let anyone convince you that his path is the only right way, and be careful not to extol your path as superior to another's way. That sounds like a universal Christ. June 28th, this command contains an invitation to experience my living presence. It also contains a promise. The more you experience me, the more convinced you become of my goodness. This knowledge is essential to your faith walk. You know, I think Jesus said, it said he sighed deeply in Mark and said, why does this generation seek after a sign? This is a sign. People, their faith is so lacking, or they're so lacking in Bible reading, that they want to have some kind of an experience. That's what took me into the New Age, was that ball of light. It was going to help me be more spiritual. I think people have not been warned. We go back to the talk that I gave on leaders. They're not equipping people. I think we're doing stuff today that was done back in the 80s. I mean, it's almost like the church is trying to catch up to stuff that we had already done years ago, because we've got a whole new wave of pastors that just don't want to deal with this stuff. Until you get, well, he talks about on June 29th, your early morning thoughts tend to be anxious ones until you get connected with me. Get connected with Jesus. That connectivity is that's the internet language. That's the language of today's technology. Connect, connect, connect. You know, I go on my computer. I have a little laptop at home. I'm not even online in my house. Every time I turn on my laptop, it says, you are not connected. It's like, you know, and that's ultimately, we're going to be the ones that are not connected, because they're connecting to the harlot. They're connecting to the beast, and we're not going to do it. Okay, he says on June 30th, I lead you along paths of newness, ways you've never imagined. Yeah, we got some new stuff, and what is, you know, it's nothing new under the sun. Jesus, same yesterday, today. This one is kind of interesting. On July 6th, Jesus says, I am your Father God. I don't remember Jesus referring to him. He deferred to the Father. He's one with the Father, but never like, I am the Father. That should have been something. On August 11th, I want you to experience how wide and long and high and deep is my love for you, so that you can know my love that surpasses knowledge. In other words, experience is the name of the game. Experience will bring you new knowledge, and it will trump anything that's written in words. This vast ocean of love cannot be measured or explained, but it can be experienced. As you grow more and more intimate with me on August 20th, I will reveal my will to you more directly when the time is right. Oh, he's got some stuff he's going to tell us, but we got to get connected. We got to get really connected. John, how much time do I have? Huh?
20 minutes.
Okay, great. I thought this one was kind of weird. I took Isaac to the very point of death to free Abraham from son worship. Both Abraham and Isaac suffered terribly because of the father's undisciplined emotions. I detest idolatry, even in the form of parental love. Okay, this is a very telling line in August 24th. Deep within themselves, most people have some awareness of my imminent presence. Remember, God is not only transcendent, he's imminent inside each and every person. Enjoy the warmth of my presence on September 7th. Feel your face tingle as you bask in my love light. On page 16 of my book, The Light That Was Dark, when I was describing the light, I said that it tingled. I actually used the same word. September 30th. When you make that quantum leap into eternity, you will find me awaiting you in heaven. There's the quantum physics, the quantum leap, and we talked about that. When they tell you to take the quantum leap, you tell them, I shall not be moved. We're not going to go down that quantum road. There's going to be a quantum Christ with a quantum faith. There's actually a little pamphlet that sold over 100,000 copies, written by Annette Capps. Her father was a Pentecostal preacher by the name of Charles Capps. Some older folks might remember him. And she said that my father said that in the future, you won't have to have faith because science will prove your faith. And then she quotes Gary Zukav, one of Oprah's longtime guests that has a book on quantum physics. You see how this stuff's all intermingling. On October 19th, come to me with your defenses down. It's kind of like the opposite of put on the full armor of God or test the spirits. It's just, trust me, trust me. Did God say, early in the book of Genesis, did God say that? Trust me. You know, go ahead and eat. I'm sorry if this is a little bit tedious, but I want you to see the process that goes on when Ray reads a book or I read a book, and we're not trying to be nitpickers, but when this book, it's going like hotcakes everywhere, and you're probably going to have people, you know, this happened with John when I spoke one time and I mentioned stuff about the shack, and he goes, why did he do a whole thing on the shack? And then he goes home, and who was reading the shack? One of your relatives? His mom. So, I mean, that part of this is to prepare you for, and I'm giving the days so that you'll be able to refer if you need to, but so when you're one of your really good friends or somebody in the church is saying, hey, I found this great book, I got my pencil in hand, and you go, whoa, wait a minute. And that's part of how we can witness to people. When you witness to somebody and you save that soul from deception, you know, that's really important. And it gives you an opening to be able to witness and to explain to them how this stuff is happening. I mean, it's really almost ideal once that it happens because, you know, telling somebody like, oh, I heard a speaker say that book's from the devil, you better throw that book away. I don't think that's going to work. You ask a good question and you take one of the things that I've been bringing up, and I'll have a couple of coming, you know, where you say, well, what do you think about, do you think Jesus would really, you know, be quoting William Wordsworth? Gets a lot worse than that. And some of the things that I've mentioned. Okay, and here's one of them right here. Jesus on October 26th. This is the age of self-help. Bookstores abound with books about taking care of number one, making oneself the center of all things. The main goal of these methodologies is to become self-sufficient and confident. You, however, have been called to take a road less traveled. Continual dependence on me. That's the name of M. Scott Peck's book where he tells you that God's within you. You know, he was hooked up with Matthew Fox, one of the, you know, New Age authors that's just who's into Teilhard de Chardin. You think Jesus is going to be quoting M. Scott Peck? This, I want to tell you what this is. This is mockery. It's mockery of the Christians or anyone who reads it. In the Course in Miracles, the Jesus of the Course in Miracles says, you have many helpers, this is Jesus supposedly, and their names are legion. It's mockery. Legion? That's demonic. That's the demons. So, quoting M. Scott Peck, he says, when you actually arrive at a choice point, I will show you which direction to go. So, you're going to be maybe still reading your Bible, and then you're going to be maybe doing something, and it's like, whoops, don't do that. Oh, okay, Jesus. I don't want to contradict Jesus, you know. Remember she said, I knew it was Jesus, a converted soul with a spiritual experience. I will lead you along fresh trails of adventure, revealing to you things you did not know. You know, sola scriptura means the Bible is sufficient. I know that one Bible teacher said that the danger is when people, it's not just sola scriptura, but when they think they need something else. Why do they need the shack? Why do they need Jesus calling? Why do they need, I'm sorry, I mean, Beth Moore Bible study? Why, how about just Bible study? Why does it have to be a Beth Moore Bible study? I'm sorry, I react to that. Why does she have to put her name right there with Bible study and then lead you into contemplative prayer? And at one time, she recommended this book. But there was a lot of criticism on the internet, I think, because I tried to find on her website where she was still recommending this book, and she didn't. So guess what? She took it down. But is she warning people about it? No. But there was something about it. Maybe it made her look bad. I don't know. But you cannot have these icons in the church where Beth Moore or whoever just does no wrong. And when somebody like me says something, people they react and they go, oh, you know, somebody was telling me today, their pastor said that, you know, somebody like myself who's raising questions about Rick Warren say, well, you know, when he saves as many people as Rick Warren does, you know, that's just negative what he's doing. Man, that just shuts down any kind of conversation about, you know, being a good Berean. Choice points. There's going to be times where people are going to be making decisions based on how they feel. Now, yes, we as Christians can get kind of two-dimensional. We can be a little bit cold. We can be, you know, kind of intellectual, but you know what? I would much rather be a prune-faced Christian holding to the Bible than a mellow, yellow, you know, new Christian doing all this stuff. It's just, it's getting to that stage. How about this one? This is mockery. My main work is to clear out debris and clutter, making room for my spirit to take full possession. Is that what Jesus is going to say? He's going to take full possession. Well, yeah, I guess he could stretch it, but that's the whole language here. It's like the sheep will know my voice, and I do not think this voice is the Lord, and I don't think the things that he's saying. Many voices proclaim, this is the way for you to go, but only my voice tells you the true way. Not the Bible. My voice tells you the true way. December the 8th, come to me in all your neediness with defenses down, with a desire to be blessed. Okay, now this one takes the prize. If I had to give a prize for anyone in this whole book, this is it. I want to see if you catch it. December 9th, be willing to go out on a limb. Shirley MacLaine, that was the name of her book. She's the one that broke. She broke. I'm not supposed to be talking about that, I guess. Let me get a little water here. Sometimes, that's pretty interesting. Look at that. I don't think the devil wants me talking about this. Shirley MacLaine, Out on a Limb. That was the movie that broke the New Age everywhere. It was on TV in America. She was the one that went out front. She took all the flack. She was the butt of late night jokes like David Letterman. They made fun of her. She went out there. She ran through the gauntlet. And 25 years later, she's on Oprah, on Oprah's last show. And Oprah says, you know, Shirley, you really inspired me. I really learned a lot from you. You know, and you took a lot of heat for that. She's a New Age martyr for what she did. Be willing to go out on a limb. Do you honestly think that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died on the cross, is going to make a statement like that, like he doesn't know about Shirley MacLaine's book? This is mockery. It goes beyond just being wrong. It's mockery. Submerged, this is on December 12th, submerged beneath the surface of the visible world are mysteries too vast for you to comprehend. Now we're getting into the subatomic level where you have to understand quantum physics, but trust us, at the subatomic level, and the subatomic level is in the shack, it's in the secret. Some Bible teachers that would just shock you that are bringing up quantum physics as we speak. I mentioned Annette Capps. It's coming in, folks. And the quantum leap is going to be that big leap into a new Christianity, a new spirituality, something that's going to dovetail with all the other religions because the foundation is going to be the same. It's going to be a foundation of sand. But in Psalm 11, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The foundations are being destroyed in front of us. The world is creating this. It's coming into the church, and there is silence amongst. False Christ Coming, I have a chapter called The Silent Church. There's just not much being said about any of this. One well-known Christian Bible teacher did a token paragraph on Neil Donald Walsh in his monthly bulletin. I looked at it and I laughed. I said to my wife, I said, Joy, come here. I said, read this. It's about Neil Donald Walsh. She looked at it and she said, that's almost word for word right out of your book. I said, yeah. What they do occasionally is they'll throw something in about the New Age so that if somebody says, you never talk about the New Age. Oh, yeah, I did my monthly bulletin, you know, and it's actually, you know, plagiarizing what I had, which is fine, you know, I guess. I'm glad that there was something there. But it's a cover. You know, it's like we had a guy that just who was introducing all this stuff back in the 90s, and when he got really cornered, he goes, hey, you got to watch out for the New Age. And everybody goes, hey, he said you got to watch out for the New Age. I mean, folks, you got to ask the next question. You got to keep going. You can't just be put off by some of the techniques that they've got. Come to me and rest in my presence. So we're getting down to where this is about 365 capital P presences. As you ponder the majestic mystery of the incarnation, that's another big word, the incarnation, because that's the immanence, God within. Relax in my everlasting arms. I'm the only person who was ever sired by the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a strange way of putting it. On December 27th, I'm preparing you for what is on the road ahead, just around the bend. Take time to be still in my presence. We're getting a whole church prepared for something that's going to look like a massive revival. There might even be people in Washington, D.C., a lot of Christian leaders, all holding hands and repenting and chanting God, Jesus, and salvation, but they're not going to repent of the false teachings that are going on throughout the church and in the world. And that's going to be the new foundation, clearly, unless it's stopped, that's going to bring in a universal Christ and and where all the different religions can fit in. You can be in your own religion as long as you have that foundation. Like the Muslims will have to come from Orthodox to the Sufi, which is more the New Age. It'll have to be toned down, but it's all in place. So I would like to read, just in closing, some quotes from, and remember Ray talked about the spiritual director's guide, wasn't it, Ray? That presence. It's an overlapping term. There's a lot of overlapping terms. And it's just, you know, our God is not a God of confusion. You know, he doesn't put Out on a Limb and Road Less Traveled and William Wordsworth. And this is just, you know, hey, if you want to go for this stuff, you're going to end up in the middle of a lot of confusion. But there's a sidebar on page 123 of False Christ Coming. And experience versus the word. Okay, this is from Alice Bailey, who's like the matriarch of the New Age. She was, you know, back in like the 50s, 40s, 50s. He is moving out from under doctrinal authority into direct personal spiritual experience and coming under the direct authority which contact with Christ and his disciples, the masters, give. Now, this is Marianne Williamson. Now, an international grassroots movement made up of people from all religions and no religions is gathering in the spirit to forge an experience of universal oneness. Remember Ray talking about the oneness blessing? People, don't let people you don't know lay hands on you. The ex-Reiki master here, and you know, she'll tell you that. It's like you just be very careful. Okay, this is from Benjamin Krim. There's a false Christ who said he's been here. He announced his presence back in 1982 on newspapers all around the world. The Christ is here. Maitreya. Benjamin Krem, speaking for Maitreya, said, on the day of declaration, that's when he announces his presence, I submit everyone, even the fundamentalists, will know through the overshadowing of the minds of all humanity, a Pentecostal experience for all. Okay, and just a few direct quotes from the New Age God in Christ. The Jesus of A Course in Miracles says, truth can only be experienced. Another one from the Jesus of the Course. Words will mean little now. We use them as but guides on which we do not now depend. For now we seek direct experience of truth alone. Listen to your experience, says Neil Donald Walsh's God. Listen to your feelings. Listen to your highest thoughts. Whenever any one of these differ from what you've been told by your teachers or read in your books, forget the words. Words are the least reliable purveyor of truth. Do you know how much the devil hates the Word of God? I learned it really quickly when I was reading Johanna Michelson's book. She was quoting scripture, and I had a guy breathing fire down. You know, what are you doing with that book? You going to buy that book? I said, whoa. Course in Miracles, Jesus, I'm leading you to a new kind of experience. Maitreya, I do not want you to believe in me or not to believe in me. I want you to experience me. And then this one is from Maitreya again. The master is within you if you follow the disciplines of life. Notice disciplines. What does that sound like? Celebration of discipline. By the way, Richard Foster, in his book Celebration of Discipline, tells you to do a guided visualization where you leave your body, go up to heaven, talk to Jesus. It's really kind of an early Jesus calling book. Then come back, tell your body you'll be back, then go back to your body, and then, you know, you'll have some gem that you got from Jesus up in heaven. And he's taken, I think, Ray, hasn't he taken that out of the book? I mean, that you can't find that anymore. That is that still in there? Really? Okay, I thought it was just in the early editions. Okay, do not be attached to the human form. The living truth is a matter of experience. So, here's a woman. I was a social worker. She's a counselor. We both went to fairly good schools, so-called, on the East Coast. We seem to have credentials. We should know what we're doing. I got caught up in a whole horrible New Age experience, going with my feelings, going with the next meant-to-be experience. I suggest she's doing the same thing. The reason that she's getting away with it is because we don't have... Somebody email Beth Moore and ask her what she thinks of Jesus calling. Is this Jesus? And see what she says. And don't let her get away with like some loose answer. And if she says, no, I don't think that's Jesus, then say, could you please tell all your people around the world that this is not Jesus? And if she says it is... So, Ask the next question. Write people and try to get some kind of a statement. Say, you get things like this. Well, and there's some things in there that are troubling. I don't really want to criticize too much. That's the kind of stuff we get. It's the Laodicean church, except worse. So anyway, this was brought to my attention, and I think the Lord wanted you to be aware of this book. Just watch and see. I appreciate your attention because, you know, most of you haven't heard of the book. It can be a little bit boring maybe to just hear quotes from a book you've never heard. But there sits John Plants, and you really thought, you're like, why did they invite this guy to the conference? I mean, you were pretty frustrated. The shack, let's talk about some other stuff. And he goes home, and I didn't realize, I forgot it was your mother. These things are coming in, folks. 6 million copies, leather-bound, e-books. I mean, this woman's a multimillionaire saying that Jesus is telling everybody that we need to go out on a limb. Is this mockery of the church today or what? But we have a God in heaven. We have a Jesus Christ who tells us the truth because he is the truth. He's given us his authoritative word. He says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means not through Jesus calling, not with a pencil in your hand, not with a cup of coffee. Oh, what was that? You know, this is what they call spiritual dictation. This is how the Course in Miracles came to a woman in New York City by the name of Helen Schuckman. She heard an inner voice saying, this is a Course in Miracles. Please take notes. Neil Donald Walsh had the communication the same way. Barbara Marx Hubbard, one of the big New Age leaders today, she said back in 1966, well, Christ, what's our story? And she gets this whole vision of connectedness and oneness. Barbara Marx Hubbard had another experience with this false Christ, and she read the Lord's Prayer before she got it, and another one, she had a scripture from Corinthians. This isn't a case of you sit down and you repeat scripture and somehow that pushes all the darkness away, and then Jesus just can't believe how wonderfully, you know, scriptural you are and comes banging in. It's like the example I gave the other night. Jack in the Box restaurants used to have this drive-in in San Francisco, and you drive up, and this little voice would say, Jack will speak to you now. And it was like, come on. And this is kind of what we're dealing with here. It's like, Jesus will speak to you now. Get your pencil. Get your Sarah Young book. Hey, you might even want to get the leather-bound one. It's a little expensive. Or you could get the devotional for kids, where the kids have a New King James Bible with Sarah's Jesus Calling devotionals on the left side. Come on, people. It's probably just going to get worse if we don't have some leaders that stand up and start to expose this stuff. And the Lord told us it would be like this, but I sometimes can hardly believe it when we're getting Shirley MacLaine thrown in our face by Jesus, no less, and we've got people like Beth Moore saying, you know, buy this book. But what I want to know, maybe we can find out, why isn't it out there anymore? She apparently took it down. Maybe we can find out. Maybe we can get somebody to actually warn about this book. So thanks for your time, and I want to tell you, if any of you are thinking of low crawling out of here after all the stuff that Ray and I have told you, tonight I'm going to be talking about how do we stand in the face of all this. What does Scripture tell us? We're going to be doing a lot of Scripture. We're pretty much done with this stuff, at least for this conference. Enough is enough. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you warn us about things, and also I thank you for bringing this book. I knew this book. I'd seen it. I knew it wasn't good. I knew it wasn't from you, but thank you for the leading to present what I did up in La Crete and now here. And I just pray that people will remember some of the things that I mentioned and that they will be able to warn their friends. And we pray for Sarah Young. Pray right now, Lord, that that the Jesus that comes to her would be shown to her to be just as Johanna Michelson's Jesus was, an imposter. I just pray for her to understand that. I mean, I think she would be horrified if she probably really believes that she's just leading so many people to you, just as Oprah does. We pray for Oprah. Pray for them to get your truth and to understand that the Jesus that they are involved with is the false Christ that you warned about in Matthew 24. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.